Here are four principles for living like an American. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for every gift and opportunity. Become a source of love. Once again, these are the times that try our souls. We must find the strength and the courage to rise up to refound America in the spirit of liberty. This is Refounding America and Reclaiming Ourselves. Welcome, my wonderful, wonderful audience, to my anchor hour of my week, knowing I've got to be here and healthy, and I've got a wonderful audience to talk to. Again, it's just always a pleasure. I'm Peter Breggin, and I'm a psychiatrist. And today's show, we're going to be, and this is Bright here on TV, by the way, if you're listening to us on the radio, this is Bright here on TV, and you're probably on PRN.live if you're hearing us on the radio. We're going to be talking about the maybe biggest danger, believe it or not, biggest danger to sovereignty in the world today, and how it emanates out of robbing America's sovereignty. The Biden administration wants to give up America's sovereignty, and it's thinking of multiple ways to do it. We'll be back with that, those disastrous scenarios. On January 10th of this year, not very long ago, the person in the White House, Joe Biden — a lot of people say we shouldn't call him president. I think it's time to really just face that we are not having reasonable, fair, just elections. I may have just lost a bunch of listeners. Maybe a few of you have decided it's even more important to listen here. Our supposed President Biden, on January 10th, signed a document in which he tried to give away much of our sovereignty as a nation. He was meeting in Mexico City with the head of Canada, Trudeau, who is a puppet basically right now of a combination of the Chinese communists and the Great Reset and Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and the EU and so on, what we call the Western Empire. And a lot of the basis for this, folks, is in our book, COVID-19, Ginger and I, my wife, Ginger Braggin, COVID-19 and the Prey. He is out to give us into globalism, Biden. And if you think about all the things that he does that seem so stupid and harmful — none of them are stupid, but they're all harmful — there is literally a push now coming through Biden, you know, through Obama's connections to the global world, a huge push to diminish the power of America, to diminish it literally, so that we will not threaten the spread of globalism. So that, in fact, as Joe Biden, and we cite this in our book, literally said to the top 100 companies in America, "We are having globalism now. You have to lead it, you top companies of America." He really meant join it and give up to it. When he leaves the borders open, he is catering to the globalists who want a uniform labor market. They call it free labor, free for them, real cheap for them. But it reduces all labor to the same level throughout the world if you can pull in people from the poorest countries into America. That's what they want. That's what the Koch family wants, who've been supporting the Republicans, that may help them keep their globalism intact. When you shut down a pipeline that has made us energy independent and indeed an energy leader in the world, you're vastly impairing our country. There's just no other way to look at it. We even impaired Canada. They didn't want us to do it because they were making money from the pipeline and sending oil down the pipe. Anytime you're puzzled and you think something is stupid and just wrong-headed, they are doing what they believe is the best policy, which is creating a global world. Then you don't have to worry about any religions. You don't have to worry about patriotism. You don't have to worry about anything conflicting with the power of the globalists. This is the goal. And this show is going to be all about that. And in a few minutes, I'm going to invite James Rogowski on, Rogowski, on, who's a hero of fighting globalism. And we'll be talking about the World Health Organization. And that means the UN, the Chinese Communist, Bill Gates, they all kind of pitch in on running the World Health Organization. But before that, I just want to alert you that on January 10th, the president, meeting with the president of the premier of Canada and the president of Mexico, met and essentially issued a declaration, not America. There's nothing in this declaration of North America, they call the DNA, about freedom. Nothing about a constitution. There's nothing about individual rights. There's nothing about the American dream. This is a declaration of leveling America, opening it up to unlimited immigration, providing immigrants with everything we can. Now, what's wrong with that? Well, for one thing, the illegal immigrants who come to this country love their families like other people love their families. They're not identified with supporting America. They want to send money back to their families. So not only are they illegal, not only are they getting, by the way, some primary health care that's being given in the U.S., not only are they getting a U.S. education and getting to work and compete with U.S. workers, they're sending the income out of the country. Mexico loves this. I mean, this is fabulous for Mexico or any other country, but Mexico in particular. And at the end of the conference, the three premiers and presidents stood up together, and the president of Mexico thanked the president of the United States for, quote, being the first one in many years to not build a meter of wall between us. Now, boy, doesn't that give the lie to any of Biden's statements about he's not leaving the border open, he's controlling the border? He's thanking of him for not controlling the border. This is all a part of making a North America. They started to do it with NAFTA. Trump canceled out NAFTA. It's all about leveling America, preparing us to be a kind of a European Union, which has been a disaster for nations. Great Britain left. I hope they all leave. And worse than that, it's actually doing a treaty without calling it a treaty. So that's something we'll be talking about further in terms of the World Health Organization. And some of the headings here of what they agreed on are diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's Marxism. That's the Marxist principles. Not talking about the American dream, individual freedom, making the most of your life. They're talking about the government enforcing diversity, which destroys nations. A lot of the reasons people want to come here is we don't have all the conflicts of diversity. Diversity is not the power of good culture. It's not what drives a country to have prosperity. It's unified values. Unified values. Diversity, equity, that's government enforced. That's not freedom. Inclusion, it's government enforced. Climate change and environment, these are their agreements. This is the North American Declaration. And then migration and development. And I won't go into great detail about this with you. I have a blog up, an essay, we call them columns now, up on America Out Loud about this. You can go there and get the links on America Out Loud, which where Ginger and I have a column and a radio show together weekly. and a lot of other very good people there, just like there are a lot of very good people on Brighteon TV. I want to go and bring up James Roguski. Strong. You'll see the strength in that man's face as we bring him on. And hi, James. How are you?
Oh, thank you for having me. I don't know if you're up for my playful mood, but there's aspects of the health section of the DNA that I would like to use as an example of the form of hypnosis that is normally what I have to read through with the information from the World Hypnosis Organization. May I hypnotize your audience by using the words of the DNA?
Sure. Okay. All right, it's your own risk, please, folks. You're watching at your own risk now.
Please protect yourself. This is on the whitehouse.gov briefing room statement release about the Declaration of North America DNA. It's their health section. I'm only going to read two sentences, okay? And if everyone passes out, I apologize. Okay, verbatim.
James has frozen. I imagine I can go there and find those same two statements if we don't get James back. Here's what James was going to tell you. And let's see what they can do behind the scenes now to get James back with us. Trilateral health cooperation will focus on launching an updating North American plan for animal and pandemic influenza. Hi, James, you froze, so yep. I started to read it. Okay. And we just got you back. But why don't you start over again and give it a read? But I started to.
Well, I'll do the second sentence. The North American Health Security Working Group will develop and launch a new revised North American plan for animal and pandemic influenza as a flexible, scalable, and cross-sectoral platform. Preparedness in response to a broader range of health security threats that include influenza and beyond. I hope you heard that. I don't know if you still have me on.
You broke me up a little bit, but we'll continue for a bit. Maybe there's another room. You're on a phone. Maybe there's another place in
my
your
internet
house.
Internet's been very bad today, so I hope the connection continues.
Well, we'll try a little bit more. Otherwise, I'll pick up on it, and I've got lots to talk to folks about, but... by the way, this was impromptu, folks. James and I just, he's frozen again. James and I just did a wonderful panel that will be coming out soon, and I'll be telling you about it when we put it up on our website. And I invited him impromptu to just come on today, and that ended. That was 15 minutes before we started. And James had to use his phone rather than his computer to connect with us. So we may be losing him for now. It is hard to imagine to what degree, if you you're taking James down, yeah, because we don't want him looking there like he has a permanent dystonia to his neck, poor guy. It is hard to imagine how much the Biden administration, and that means Obama, probably his wife as well, but I mean, that's probably the most direct control. Everybody's telling me that. I don't have personal, private knowledge of that, that it's really all about the Obama family, still holding on to the presidency. The World Health Organization has been the center of the main tool for conducting the oppression of COVID-19. And that tool is owned by both the Communist Party. Tedros, the head, is an individual who is a communist leader, was in his own country. He's been a communist revolutionary. He's the first non-MD to head the World Health Organization. He got there entirely via the Chinese communists. It shows you the power they have. But I'm sure he didn't have objections from Bill Gates, because Bill Gates, who is another big financial supporter from at least three, last I looked, different foundations. So it's not just what you immediately see in the Bill Gates Foundation. He has a lot of sway there. He claps his hands and they say, yes, sir. And it's interesting that there are no major conflicts between them. So that's what we're talking about, is the World Health Organization. And we were also talking about the North Atlantic Declaration. And what we're going to be seeing is that the World Health Organization is developing modifications, amendments to its international health regulations. I'll bring James on in a minute. We have him here. Amendments that the U.S. has sponsored, where the original sponsor is the U.S., giving free rein to Tedros, the head of the director general of the WHO, to on suspicion. Just suspicion of the probability of a health-related problem that could maybe influence other countries. It's just influence one other country. It's considered global. And the thing that people don't realize is that the way the UN and the WHO define health problems, they include war. He went specifically to the Ukraine and announced that they are a WHO problem too. They're a health problem. That includes education, includes human rights. Because, I mean, you can even make an argument that everything affects health, right? And they mean that argument. And so the entry into their being able to take over, essentially, by means of the change in regulations, that they can take over our health regulatory system, our own system, by various means, without any permission at all, and even resistance. And it's legally binding that if they get these regulations passed this coming May, they failed last May, in part because of James Rogowski's efforts. Any country can just, kiss their sovereignty goodbye. The health regulations, if they're voted on these changes, they'll be binding on everybody. And besides, the U.S. wants them. Let's go back to James and see if we can get a smooth going. It breaks up a little bit more.
I hope you can hear me fine.
Yeah, you look good.
Technology is wonderful when it works. And so, I actually want to bring a good dose of optimism, because number one, if they had had their way, we would not be talking about this. They would have loved to have kept this very quiet. That's what they did last year. Last year, the Biden administration submitted the proposals that they put forth on today, actually, January 18th is the one year anniversary.
It's a year, yeah.
It's a whole year. And they kept it as quiet as they possibly could for as long as they possibly could. The documents were never published on an American United States website that I'm aware of. They didn't show up on the WHO's website until April 12th. And so we're actually, quite frankly, way ahead of the game. We just got off of a conference with a lot of wise people who are spreading the word. Mm-hmm. I've had thousands.
By the way, it was James who found these documents. I mean, out of the
hidden in plain sight.
Yeah.
Hidden in plain sight. They hide these things on their website, but it's so large, And so I just go poking around, down in the archives, I suppose. And so I've already had thousands of people send emails to Congress alerting them to all of these documents. And so the plausible deniability of any one of your Congress people or senators saying, oh, well, we don't know what's going on. I'm actually collecting replies that are coming from, congressional in both the House and the Senate. The answers and the replies that they are giving to constituents, I don't know, I've never been in Congress, but they must start everyone out with a course in how to condescend to your constituents. Because the people who are getting this information from me and from, you know, the sources that are from the WHO absolutely are on top of this. They know exactly what's going on. We're sending the documents to Congress, and the congressional leaders are making absolute fools of themselves by trying to condescend, telling the constituents, oh, don't worry about it, you know, it's not a problem. They're not actually looking at the document. And that's where it all starts. This is evidence. This is not, you know, making anything up, any kind of, it's absolutely a conspiracy, but there's no theory involved. We have the evidence, and it's not hacked. I'm not a hacker. It's not leaked. Okay, we did FOIA requests and just went to their website, their own paperwork on their own website, in their own words.
The work you're doing is really amazing. Before I forget, is there a way people can make a contribution to your work financially as well as doing all these good things?
You can absolutely call me up and put forth effort to help spread the word. It's the only contribution I ask of anybody. The issue here is they want to keep it quiet. And so if you sit back and do nothing and don't spread the word, then you're helping the enemy, right? And so, you know, I'm taking volunteers to help spread the word and, you know, do all of the things that can possibly be done. And it's a worldwide effort. Wait until you see what's going on in Australia. The folks down under are all over this. You know, put forth the effort, put forth the creativity. People have made songs. They've made videos. Get involved and do something. That is all I ask of anybody.
Minutes, but when we come back, I think it would be good to just briefly read some of the points some of the analysis of the these suggested amendments, because it's quite stunning what they're proposing, and they go beyond what you might think. They get into things like the passports, and they get into just the whole takeover of. Using health as the excuse wants to be the surveillance tool of the Communist Chinese Party. I think it really comes down to that. So when we come back, we can talk about some of this, and it'll give you somewhat of a better idea generally of what's going on. But your thoughts, James, anything else you want to emphasize right now? Oh, you're frozen again. Well, at least this time, folks, he's not frozen in a terrible contortion, so he's not suffering. He's just out of commission. But I hope we're really managing to communicate to you, despite some of the hiccups here. There's some very good analyses out there now about what the WHO is trying to do, but a lot of the threat now for having a global empire basically run by the Chinese communists, with this collaboration they've developed with what I call the Western Empire, with Bill Gates and with Klaus Schwab and with the big philanthropic groups, Gates Foundation and Wellcome Trust and other groups like that, and working with the European Union. They love the way the World Health Organization was able to be their tool for shutting down the world. So they're moving in that direction. You got to become aware of this. If nothing else changes today from hearing us, it's that the World Health Organization is going to be a central weapon against humanity in the coming years. We'll go to break now. Well, we're back with James Roguski and Peter Bregan. James is going to take us to his website, to a letter to Congress, which people can send through his website to Congress, right? And I want to go there. It's got some of the major points about what in the world is going on that the Biden wants to change the regulations to what? And how dangerous it's going to be to have these legally binding regulations on all the nations of the world, basically. There's hardly anybody that's not a member of the UN and a couple of places that aren't members of the UN or even members of the WHO. I think it goes up to 194 nations, some number like that. And James, can you direct our producer here onto?
Yes, if you scroll down in the letter, it's an open letter, so it's published, but it's also part of a system where people can just click on a red button. And so what that enables everyone to do is with one click, you can send an email to every member of Congress and the Senate. 535 emails will go out on your behalf. And there's a short version if you want to just copy it and send it. You know, you can change it and write it and do whatever you want. And then in the long version, there's a top 10. And I'll just start reading through them. They essentially, the core of it is they want to change the overall nature of the current regulations. Right now, the WHO is an advisory body, and they want to make it a command and control operation. They want to give it legally binding authority. That's a transfer of sovereignty, no matter how you cut it. You already mentioned that they could declare an emergency, number two. Even if it's just potentially, maybe, could somehow, someday be a problem. Oh, we have an emergency on our hands. The big one, the soundbite, you know, the take-home message, it literally made my jaw drop open when I read it for the first time. When I read the International Health Regulations a year ago, and currently what it says is that they must be implemented with respect for the dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms of people. And of all things, the nation or the delegation from India would just cross that out. So they're essentially saying that respect for dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms don't matter. And I was dumbfounded. I must admit, my jaw was open. And I'm an optimist, so I looked at that. You know, you get lemons, you make lemonade. It's so egregiously bad that it's a blessing. Because when people look at that, their first response is, oh, come on, Jim, you're kidding. And I go, well, here's the document. Yeah. That's what they would do. Here's, you know, it's so bad, it's unbelievable. And it has created action in people all over the world who just essentially say, no, not going to stand for that. They would give the director general of the WHO the means, control over the means of production to create an allocation plan, centralized planning, not in a Politburo, but in one dictator, to determine which nations would have to manufacture which products and send them to which country. They would change the recommendations for things like examinations and vaccinations and treatments and quarantine and tracing. They would no longer be recommendations, they would be orders. Number six, they want to have global health certificates in paper or digital format, not just for vaccines, but for testing and prophylaxis and recovery. They want to have a traveler's health declaration and a passenger locator form to track and trace people. The big thing that many people are very confused about is they want to up the financing orders of magnitude. The United States currently is only obligated to pay, and I say only, but it's government money, $109 million per year. That's a pittance for the, you know, people who just print money all the time. The WHO would love to have a pandemic fund of $60 billion per year. That's a couple of orders of magnitude larger. And so they want to greatly expand their capacity to censor misinformation, so you're in trouble, okay? They want to disclose personal health data, and they literally want to create an obligation for nations to build infrastructure in other nations. And those are just the top 10. I did a video over the Christmas holidays of the top 100, and I just essentially tried to translate their gobbledygook legalese jargon into concepts and words that people can understand and share. And I'm very gratified. I've seen people who are now making their own videos, you know, expressing their own opinions. They know this better, meaning regular people out all over the world know this better than our senators and congresspeople. And we've got to get those people to wake up. But I'm very optimistic. They wanted to keep this quiet, and the cat is definitely out of the bag.
The one of the other things we were talking about today at the panel was the World Health Organization has set up a new information control center, like the White House tried to, where they will, as a part of all of this, be able to tell the world what is acceptable truth about anything to do with world health. And they have selected their director. There was a hue and cry about it, but I think she's been selected now. And she's the head of, not the head, perhaps the most adored member of the British Communist Party. And she's been an active communist her entire life. Her parents, very, very active communists. And this is something that is very deep in her. And for to have an active communist determining what's going to be allowed to be the spoken truth in the health field will look kind of like what we have in the United States today, unfortunately. I mean, it's not going to be, it's going to be still worse. It's going to get worse and worse. I mean, today, for example, my book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, it was taken down off of YouTube less than 45 minutes after I announced it in a fresh YouTube video. That's speed. They took it down, and they also took my entire YouTube down. And I didn't even have any points against me. I'd lived through a few bad times where they were very mad at me. And then they finally, you know, they all cleared it up over time. And basically by our being quiet for a little while. And then we put this thing up because I'm going to get this up. It'll be up a few days before they take it down. Well, they got it down in 45 minutes.
In what you said about the person, you know, who's put in that position, there is a squiggly little line in front of the word that makes all of the difference. It looks like a snake, okay? But it's the letter S that goes in front of the word elected, and it's all of the difference in the world, selected or elected. None of these people are elected. Right. They're selected because they're obedient. They do what they're told, and what they're told is not the will of the people, because the will of the people is completely ignored. They have not had any public comment. They have not had any, you know, public meetings even. The director general selected 18 experts from their panel of cronies, and they interjected it into what was supposed to be a working group of the international health regulations, all of the member nations, to negotiate whatever changes they wanted to make. Instead, what he did is he appointed 18 handpicked people, literally in their documents, they are sworn to confidentiality. They report only to Tedros. They've met six times. They apparently have submitted the documents to Tedros because that's the only person they are loyal to. And we, the people, know nothing about what they've done. They did, under pressure, publish the submissions and the first draft. So we know enough to make a stink. And so, you know, when we're all done with what we're doing here today and this video is up on Brighteon, please, people, just spread the word, because if you don't spread the word, you're keeping this hidden. And that's what they want. When people hear about this, they are just astonished first, but then they're activated in many, many different ways. The creativity that I've been seeing coming out of people who know about this, it's been wonderful and beautiful to see. So I'm actually very optimistic in the face of insanity, but people are stepping up because this is their attempt to enact. There have been all kinds of plans and all kinds of proposals and discussions. This is when the rubber is attempting to hit the road, and we can't let that happen. We cannot let this be enacted into international law. And even if it is, which it won't be, we just have to reject it because it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
Now, many of you may be thinking, well, these amendments sound like they're a treaty or something on that level. And indeed, if you just look at it honestly, there's so much more going on here than proposing amendments, because they're taking away U.S. sovereignty over almost anything that, well, over anything that Tedros or the WHO decide is a potential, possible, and kind of a health problem that might become global, i.e., that is, affect the next country next to you, or some country you've shipped some stuff to. You know, it doesn't have to be a spreading pandemic at all. It doesn't have to be anything like that. It's a, you know, they even consider war to be a health problem. So, or justice or equity or whatever they want to focus on. They say that in the UN regulations, and that's how the WHO operates, and they agree with that.
I've learned to train myself to stop using the word pandemic, because it's not legally defined, and mm-hmm. it's a propaganda term. And so their terminology is a public health emergency of international concern. One of the things that there wasn't time to say in the webinar that we did just before was the definition of a public health emergency in the United States was changed by the CDC.
Yes.
And it includes, if Tedros declares a public health emergency of international concern, it automatically would enable our own little dictator, the Secretary mm-hmm. of Department of Health and Human Services, to declare not mm-hmm. a national emergency, but a public health emergency. And those changes yeah. were made by the Obama administration on their very last full day in office, January 19th, 2017. So they changed a number of definitions the day before Trump walked into office. And I didn't find that until March of last year.
So public health all of emergency.
This legal craziness. Yeah, it's crazy.
Public health emergency of
international concern. Is the WHO's term, PHEIC yeah. or fake. And I'm busy stealing it, because they want to be able to declare a fake in order to take billions of dollars and funnel it into the medical fake, which is the pharmaceutical hospital emergency industrial complex. That's yeah. really what this is about. They want to control people to poison them, basically. They want to put more and more money into the pharmaceutical hospital emergency industrial complex, and, you know, more jabs, more drugs, more death, more pain and suffering, more dis-ease, under the guise of, you know, trying to help. And what they're not talking about in these meetings are all of the many things that doctors have done. Dr. Bregan, I came across some information on the WHO website in the past couple of days. I put an article up that's essentially about Africa and the African proposals. It's called Let's Talk About the Elephant in the Room. It's astonishing, but according to the WHO's own numbers on their own website, there's more people in the African region. Africa is very highly, you know, populated, even though it's a sparsely populated in many areas. It's very got large, very large cities. There's about 1.2 billion people in the African region of the WHO, and only about 1 billion in both North and South America. But Africa had 18 to 20 times less, or the Americas had 18 to 20 times more deaths and cases mm-hmm. than Africa. But we're wow. exporting our pharmaceutical treatments that worked so horribly and are building that infrastructure in Africa that did fantastically well in comparison. That's the biggest elephant in the room that they are not talking about. Africa did quite well. And you have to ask mm-hmm. yourself, why is that?
Well, we know one of the reasons is that many people are taking hydroxychloroquine in Africa routinely, and it's a very good preventive of even getting the disease. And if you get the disease, it's the best treatment, one of the best treatments available. And they also use a great deal of ivermectin there, because there's an indigenous disease that it treats. So you've got a lot of people taking very inexpensive. I'm an expert on, you know, adverse drug effects, and I've really checked these drugs out. They're among the safest in the world, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And they couldn't stop them being used in Africa. They actually stopped, folks. It's complete use. They're used throughout the United States, both drugs. And that is the main cause of the deaths. It's not the disease. It's the fact that we were forced not to treat the disease. That's why we have so many deaths in the U.S. And now we're increasing the deaths with the vaccines. And the we may exceed deaths. Some doctors already feel the deaths from vaccines exceed those of the deaths from COVID. Personally, I know more people who've died from the vaccine and been injured from the vaccine than from COVID. And a lot of other people are very aware of that. And people just dropping over, too, from...
We do have a public health emergency of international concern, but they'll never admit that they're the ones causing it.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's right. The public health emergency is the totalitarians won't let us treat people properly, and they're forcing us to take sickening, deadening drugs that can kill you and have a high percentage of sterilization. All of this is flowing through the influence of the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, and what I call the Western Empire as well, Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, European Union, and so on, and threatening the democracies of the world. You say, why would they do this? How could people do this? I've been thinking a lot about this and beginning to write about it. And I have an essay, a column up there, among my columns on America Out Loud. And empire builders have lusted after killing people since the beginning of time. Literally, folks, before BC, 231 BC, there was the final development of a huge Chinese empire. And as always, they killed people. They killed half the population in the process. There's a bloodlust among them. And that particular emperor is the darling of Xi Jinping in China. So these people are like that. That's how we can have a prevention of medicines. That's how we can have forcing people, including children, who have no use at all for the vaccine. They need to, I mean, the best thing for us would be if the children got the disease, because it doesn't kill them. It barely hurts them at all. Many of them have no idea they were ever sick, and yet they give immunity to the community as they grow up. Something the vaccines don't do. They don't even give immunity. On a legal issue,
in the international health regulations, back in 2007, when the United States accepted the changes that were made then, they did so with a reservation. And the reservation is published in the document. It's on page 60 and 61. And it says very clearly that the federal government wrote a letter to the WHO and said, okay, fine, we'll agree to the changes that were done in 2005. But you have to understand that we're a federal government and we don't really have the authority. We'll give a good recommendation and encourage the states to meet the requirements of the amendments. But they made it very clear. Now, back in May, the state of Louisiana, the assembly, passed a resolution where they said very clearly to the WHO, we don't really care what you do. The states have authority over health care in the United States, not the federal government. And they said, if anything is to be accepted, it would have to go through a referendum and be voted upon by the people of Louisiana. And so what we're working for is to wake people up. It's not just about talking to people in Congress and the federal government, but it's on a state and actually even local level. Tell everybody that you possibly can to watch this video. Go to get all of the information. We have all of the documentation. If people just understand what's being attempted, just like people are very much aware of their First and Second Amendment rights, the Fourth Amendment is your right to privacy, and clearly some kind of digital health passport that you would have to show your papers that you've had, medical treatments, that's a violation of your right to privacy with your health information. And anything that would ever be done is a state right issue on the 10th Amendment. And each state in the union has to stand up for their right to control what goes on within the boundaries of their state, as well as each individual person, what goes on within the boundaries of their body. And so I have every faith that they have no chance. I look at it this way, Peter, maybe a bad analogy, okay? But, you know, they're a hard-boiled egg that you've already taken out and you've cracked it on the ground or on the counter or something. And their facade is absolutely shattered, okay? They're desperate at this point. And all we have to do is peel it off and show, you know, what's really going on here. I think they've sown the seeds of their own destruction, because when you read the documents, this country wanted this and that country wanted that and this country wanted the other thing. And now they're going to get to see what each country wants. And, you know, it's almost like they're trying to start a third world war inside the hall of the Palace of Nations in Geneva. They want us all arguing about it. What we need to do is no.
We got 10 seconds.
We just want to say no to the WHO and not fight with each other.
Perfect. James Roguski, thank you so much for the work you do. This is Dr. Peter Bregan. You've been, listening to Refounding America and Reclaiming Ourselves on Brighty on TV. Thank you.